Well, Sherry Shepherd, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, you're a breath of fresh air.
Oh, wow. It's so nice and cool in here.
Yeah.
It's hot out here in Atlanta. Oh, that's why they call it Hotlanta, huh?
That's right. That's why it's called Hotlanta. But you look amazing. Everyone, she has on this polka dot, this
polka
ensemble.
Dot.
Yeah.
Allison Olivia, polka dotted, black and white, white and black polka dot.
Yeah.
Kwame Waters, who's my stylist, who is from Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw him. I was like, I know you.
Yes.
So you're here promoting this amazing film, Brian Banks, and we're really excited about this story. But
yes,
before we get into that, you have been busy post The View.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I follow you on Instagram.
Thank
and
you.
I'm like, I want to be your BFF.
Oh,
you're,
no!
You're everywhere.
Yeah.
You're traveling. You're in Cabos. You're doing this. You're doing that. So how has life been post the show?
You know, it's actually been really, really good. I'm incredibly blessed that to leave New York and come back to LA and people still want to work with me and still be relevant in this time and being able to do so many different things. And I think I have a movie coming out in December and finished up working on a book. I have an hour comedy special I'm about to do as soon as I finish with Brian Banks, a game show that I have on the air. I have a sitcom on Netflix.
Wow.
Coming out. And in between, I have to find time to be a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really going well. And I'm very, very thankful.
Now, we're celebrating 20 years, I think I read, right?
20 years.
Of you doing being a stand-up comedian, being in the...
Oh, yes. I think it's been longer than 20 years.
Okay.
Because I think, longer
than that?
I started with Jamie Foxx and D.L. Hughley, Chelsea Handler, Sarah Silverman. We all started around the same time. Matter of fact, Jamie still owes me $50 for a haircut. I gave him $50 for a haircut because he was auditioning for a show called In Living Color.
Wow.
And, you know, so we all, you know, started, Chris Tucker started together in the same kind of, you know, doing stand-up.
And what would you say would be probably one of the biggest lessons that you've learned over that this time period?
Perseverance, not taking no for an answer. Going after things that you fear, and it's believing, and you got to stay and show up. Showing up is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this role. This is your first dramatic lead, and when I read that, I was like, no, it isn't. But then,
well, for a film, because okay. I've done drama on with Kiki Palmer. I played her mother in a drama
I was
on
gonna
Lifetime.
Say, yeah.
And I was in a drama called Precious. And I was a receptionist for the Each One Teach One with Zosia Rockamore, who was also in Brian Banks. So, but that was a very small role in Lee Daniels' film. So this is my first big lead role in a drama on the big screen.
So when this came across your desk, what was it? What was it about this story that you were like, I got to do this? Like this.
I wish I could say it came across my desk. My agent was talking about it.
Okay.
And I said, please, can you send me the script? And he sent it to me. And I read about Leomi, who plays Brian Banks' mother, and the fact that she fought so hard for Brian. She believed in him. She advocated for him. She was going through not having control over the situation. And it's but her faith. It spoke to me so much because I have a son who's 14 years old. I'm raising single mom like Leomi and raising him. And I said, this Jeffrey, this could be Brian Banks.
Yeah.
And I called my agent and I said, I got to audition for this role. And he tried to get, they weren't interested in seeing me because of my comedy background. In Hollywood, it's very hard. Once they label you, it's very, very difficult to cross over to that other genre. And so people knew me from comedy, so they were not interested in seeing me for drama. And I really had to fight, and I really had to make my agent believe that I could do it. And then he had to fight for me. And then finally, Leah Daniels Butler, Lee Daniels' sister, she's a casting director. She called me in and she said, we're expanding the role of the mother. And I went, oh my gosh, that's great. And she went, for Viola Davis, because that's who they were trying to get. They were trying their hardest to get Viola. And I said, okay. And she goes, okay, now you ready? And I was like, no. But it was, I still didn't get the call for weeks and weeks. I had to do FaceTime auditions. I had to meet with the producers on FaceTime.
Wow.
And Tom Shadyac, who directed this film, he wrote The Nutty Professor. He's directed Eddie Murphy and Jim Carrey on a bunch of their films. And he said, I'm going to have to sit on you the way I sat on Eddie and Jim. And I said, please sit on me. finally, I booked the role. So I was just so grateful. And I want to tell people, you know, you have to believe in yourself, but you have to know, even if you get a lot of no's, you only need one yes. You only need one person to believe in you and say yes. And then the sky's the limit.
Yeah. So if you can, take us to the set. Take us on set and what that was like working with Aldis and Greg Kinnear, who also is in the film as well.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear plays Justin Brooks, who is the head of the California Innocence Project, who helped Brian Banks get exonerated after they found out that the woman, the young lady who had accused Brian Banks of rape, lied. And Aldis Hodge, who is phenomenal, he's a beast of an actor from Underground and What Men Want, and he plays Brian Banks. He actually became Brian Banks. They worked out together. He had to put on bulk and muscle. He had to go places that I still am in awe of him that he had to go. So you show up on set, there's Aldis. Brian is making him eat tons of protein. He's like, I can't eat another chicken. Joking around, they're putting hair on everybody. It's wigs and makeup and watching, and Brian sitting with Aldis and sitting with me and explaining what's going on in the scene. So Brian had to talk to me a lot about how he felt about his mother in this scene. A lot of scenes he was not able to watch that took place with Aldis and I. Mm. He's so close to his mother, and she went through so much. But it would literally be us talking to the director about what we needed to do and how we needed to complete the scene. It would take probably 14, 16, 17 hours to do a scene. I think I have one very pivotal scene. That's the scene that's going to make you cry, where I really have to fight for my son, for the DA to really try to overturn his conviction. And I worked on that scene all night in my hotel room. You would have thought somebody had shot a bear in the behind. It was a lot of moaning and wailing, and my call time was 8 in the morning, so I could film the scene about 10 in the morning. I didn't do the scene until 2 in the morning. So being an actor, having to hold on to that emotion from 8 in the morning until 2 in the morning, you know, over 12 hours, it was really difficult. But I just had so much fun.
Did you get an opportunity to actually talk to her about?
Oh, I met with Leomi. Yeah. Before I even started, I asked if I could come and to walk in the door and meet this woman who, by the way, Leomi is getting her master's.
Oh, wow.
She's a few credits shy of getting her master's. She's an amazing woman. She's a school teacher, very quiet, very understated, and she really doesn't feel like she did anything extraordinary except love her son. And so when you sit with Leomi, and she's very soft-spoken, and to see this little woman who's so soft-spoken, who fought tirelessly for her son. She, when he was incarcerated, she drove 3.5 hours there and back every other weekend to see her son for 5 years. She wrote him a letter every day. She talked to him every day. She mortgaged her house. She sold her car to get an attorney for him because she believed in him. She showed up at court by herself. The girl that had accused Brian would show up with all kinds of family members. Leomi came by herself every single time. And to just get a sense of who this woman was amazing to sit up under her. And even so, she said, I didn't do anything.
What do you think will be the takeaway message from this film?
I think the takeaway, if you were to meet Brian Banks, he's phenomenal because he has a smile on his face. He has learned to move through all of the angst and all of the brutality that he went through, of his dreams being taken away from him. He was ranked number 11 in the nation for a defensive lineman. So he would have been playing pro ball right now. And to have your gifts stripped away from you and incarcerated for something that you did not do, a lot of people would still be bitter. They would still, you know, be walking around in that darkness. But Brian Banks move through it. So I hope that people would get inspired on how to push through, how to let go, how to keep going, and that people would come together and say, we got to change this judicial system. Because just like when they see us, the judicial system failed, and they still continue to fail our children. And so I think that this movie, I hope it shows people that you have a voice. You have to do the work. We have to do the work and find out who we're putting in as DAs, district attorneys, and judges, because these are the people, God forbid, your worst nightmare come true and you get a phone call that your child has been arrested. You don't want them to be in front of a judge or a DA that is in the pockets of different entities over your child.
Has your son seen the film, and what are his thoughts?
You know, it's something. I have a teenage son who I'm just going through with this little alien that's in my house now. He is going to go see it with me. He wants to see it. It's going to be a little hard for Jeffrey, I think, to see me in that, in that, you know, not smiling and not comedy. But I think it's important for Jeffrey to see this film, to see about choices. And this, you see why your mama tells you not to do certain things, and you see why. But yeah, unfortunately, because he's a little black boy, I have to have those conversations with him of what happens if the police stop you, Jeffrey. You have to keep your hands to yourself. My son has special needs. So you have to keep your hands down. You have to talk very slowly. You have to tell them, I want to call my mom. And so he needs to see this film to see what, you know, what happens, and to be more aware. So, yeah, I'm taking him.
Yeah. Well, Sherry Shepherd, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you for having me. And I want to just say, Brian Banks has a book coming out. It is actually out on shelves now, called What Set Me Free. So he really goes into more detail about what went on when he had to go to prison and how he felt, and what you didn't get for the film, you get for the book. And it's really, I think Jeffrey's doing it as a book report. Mm. It's such a great book for young people to read.
Okay. And how can our listeners follow you on social media?
They can follow me on social media at Sherry E. Shepherd on Instagram and Twitter. And then Facebook is official Sherry Shepherd fan page.
All right.
Yes.
Again, thank you so very much
thank
for being
you for
a guest
having
today.
Me.
And we're excited about this film. It comes out this weekend, you guys. So make sure
August
you check it out.
August 9th.
Yes. And you can check out the trailer at WCLK.com.